Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, everybody.
Praise his name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be with us again today. Today being the second Sunday of the month in the Apostolic Church in America is regarded as the Men's Sunday. And we are so glad for all our men that are here. And we bless the Lord for you and your family. We trust that God will continue to be with you and to strengthen you as you look forward to greater things from him. We are also glad for our sisters who are here with us to continue to push us on and to encourage us to follow the Master. So wonderful to be here another Lord's Day to give God the glory and the praise that is due only to him. And to him be the praise and the glory as we continue to look forward to what he has to say. We are going to look on this portion of scripture here today that was read by Brother Granville from Psalms 34, 1 to 8. And we would like to see what the Lord has to say to us from this passage. And I'm asking all of us to look in our Bibles and try to follow the different lines that are there and to see if there's anything that we can learn from them based on what the psalmist is saying to us. But before we go into it, let us take a little background to this Psalms. All of us know that King David was a powerful man, powerful in many ways. But there were times when he was vulnerable. There were times when he was afraid. There was a times when he was looking down the barrel of death. It was not always easy for him. And so is it for you and me. And that's why we are going to take a look on this passage of scripture and to see under what condition this was written, so that we can have it this morning to digest. If we go back to Samuel, 1 Samuel, between chapter 18 and chapter 22, if we read carefully those chapters, we are going to discover that David had been through a real trying period. A real trying period. A period in which he had defeated Goliath. He had killed Goliath. And for that and other reasons, Saul the king was envious of him and decided that he is going to kill him. And David had to run for his life. The word tells us. But the interesting thing, saints, is the fact that David ran in a direction that you and I would not imagine that he would have gone. He ran in the direction where Goliath came from. The man that he had just killed, he ran in the community from which Goliath came. And you can just imagine how those people, the Philistines, how they hated David for defeating Goliath. And they would do anything to get their hands on him. And lo, we see from the scriptures, as I said, read from chapter 1 Samuel chapter 18 all the way up to chapter 22 for these informations. And we see where they would do anything to get their hands on him, to kill him. But David thought in himself that the safest place that he could have gone was among the Philistines, because that's the only place that Saul would not be looking for him. And so he went there among the Philistines to a place called Gath. And lo and behold, somebody identified him. Somebody identified him to the king of God by saying, this is the man that they sung this, sing the song. Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed 10,000. And immediately as he heard that statement, fear gripped him. Fear gripped him. And he, having identified in the midst of the king, and the king's men did not know where to go, what to do, he was freeze. Because he's not running from Saul. And thought it was the safest place to be. And he was identified as the man responsible for the death of the Philistine captain, Goliath. Now, we're told from the scriptures, 1 Samuel chapter 21, that right there, David, after being in a state of serious trouble before the king and his men, he faked being mad. He faked being mad. He started to scratch doors. His speaker started to run down on his beard. And he was a terrible looking mess before the king. And in that case, the king determined that this is a madman. And the king desired that he should come out of his sight, because this is a madman. And we are told in that same chapter, chapter 21, 1 Samuel chapter 21, that David reached out to a place called Adullam, a cave called Adullam. It is called the Cave of Refuge. And in the Cave of Refuge, being alone, it is there that the inspiration of God grab hold of him. And it is in that cave of refuge, dark and lonely, afraid, not no other one to hold on to but Almighty God, that he penned these lines that we have here in Psalms 34. But in addition to that, we are told in 1 Samuel chapter 22, and I read that portion, 1 Samuel chapter 22, I read from verse 1 to verse 3, from verse 1 to verse 2, 1 Samuel chapter 22. And David therefore depart thence and escape to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was distressed, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men in the cave of Adullam. My brothers, my sisters, I would like to look on this word and call it an invitation to worship. An invitation to worship. I would like you to use your imagination this morning. Picture the servant of God in a dark place, in a cave. And in that cave, 400 men came from his father's house. 400 men came from his father's house because they heard that he was in this cave. And as he addressed these 400 men, this is what we see here that he said to them. Now I want to tell all of us here this morning that expressing gratitude to God is a very important thing. Expressing gratitude to the God that we serve for the things that he has done for us is something that we need to embrace and have constantly before us. Find a way to say thanks to God. Find a way to worship God. Find a way to give God thanks for his goodness and for his mercy. And we are not talking about some of the things, all the things that we know. Because God is doing things for us behind the scene that we don't know about. So David addressed this company in that cave. A cave of refuge, realizing that he had just missed death from the enemy. And he's still being pursued by another enemy called Saul. David, having escaped from the enemy, from the King of God, address this company of men. And what is the first thing that Psalms 34 tells us that he said? I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times, he declares. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, an invitation to worship. Hallelujah. An invitation to worship coming from a background of deliverance. you never come to the Apostolic Church in America, in any one of these services, without you hear us worshiping the Lord. And it is for a good reason. The reason is that knowledge is to acknowledge the goodness of God. And also to acknowledge His presence with us. As we give Him the glory, as we give Him the praise that is due unto Him. You heard us this morning. You heard us this morning. As our sister sing those songs. And we all join in with the fruit of our lips in giving God praise and giving God glory. It is saying the same thing as what David said to these men. I will bless the Lord at all times. And he personalized it, meaning if nobody else chooses to do it, I will do it. And he's coming for a place of experience. My soul, he said in verse 2, shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. How humbling it must have been for David to faint mad before the King of God that he might be delivered. How humbling it must be. A broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise, he declared in another place. He was broken. He was broken before God. He was broken in his own spirit. He was humbled in the presence of a holy God to find a way of deliverance. Vain and faking mad does not speak eloquently of a man who is as powerful as David. But at the exact particular moment, it was necessary for deliverance. He said, a humble shall hear thereof and be glad. As you recognize and acknowledge, as you recognize and acknowledge the presence of a holy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that as he right now is inviting us to worship God as a church, as a people, this is something that we should practice. That Almighty God will get the benefit from in our relationship with Him. As we give Him the fruit of our lips continually. And then in verse 3 he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And now he invites the group. He invites the entire group of 400 men to exalt the Lord with him. And that's why, if you're here for the first time, I don't want you to feel strange because of our way of worship. We invite you to worship the Lord with us. We invite you to give Him the first place in your life. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually, not just in the morning, not just in the afternoon, not just in the evening, but continually be in my mouth. And this is not to say that you're going to walk around. I am going to walk around shouting, praise the Lord, all day long. We make melody in our hearts unto the King of Kings and unto the Lord of Lords. We make melody. We have a song deep down inside of us that we keep humming all the time. And the closest person to you don't necessarily have to know. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The man is now speaking from a place of experience as he addressed his 400 men in exhorting them to worship the Lord. Listen to what he said here in verse 4. I thought as he informed this group in the cave of refuge. He said in verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Hallelujah! This is not empty talk. He is describing something that happened. I sought that. I want to tell you something, church. That sometimes you find yourself in a state where you can't even pray out loud. You can't even pray out loud so that the person beside you heard you.
Amen.
But nonetheless, you pray a prayer to God in a situation that is sticky, in a situation that is threatening. You
Amen.
Pray a prayer to God. And the good thing here, the Psalm tells us, Psalm David tells us, that the Lord heard him. Hallelujah! In my distress, I call upon the name of the Lord. That is what he was saying to this 400 men. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he what? Deliver me.
Amen.
Deliver me from all my fears.
Amen.
In the cave of refuge, saw on one hand, and the King of God on the other hand, wedged between two enemies.
My Lord.
He declared to these 400 men that I sought the Lord in my distress, and the Lord heard me.
Hallelujah. Bless his name. Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Then he described something here. He described something here that is extremely powerful. As he made that statement that he called upon the name of the Lord and the Lord heard him. In verse 5 he said, they looked upon him and were lightened. Hallelujah. Look here. I am going to show you something here. Why this verse here, verse 5, means so much for us? Let me just read it. Why verse 5 means so much to us in his request. I go back to 1 Samuel chapter 22 and listen to this carefully. The men that David was addressing here, listen to the type of people. Listen to the type of people the Bible describes that came to him, that make up this 400 men. Verse 2, chapter 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2. And everyone that was in distress, make a note of that. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and they were with him about 400 men. Listen to the plight of these men. All were wounded. All were wounded, not physically, but mentally, socially, financially. All of them were wounded men that came out there to David in this cave. David ministering unto these men. We have in verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened. The faces of these men, hallelujah, the faces of these men, after hearing the exhortation from God's word and the testimony that David gave in regards to his own experience with God, their faces started to shine. Hallelujah. Their faces started to shine because the presence of the Lord has grown a hold of them and give them a hope. Hallelujah. Give them a purpose. Hallelujah. Give them a reason. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
I want to tell you today, church, I want to tell you today, these men who were in distress, these men who were in debt, owe so much money, whether it is to the state or to their neighbor, these men who were in a state where they are, the system has failed them.
My God.
To the extent that they are troubled in their heart. Some of them even give up on prayer. Some of them even give up on church. Some of them even give up on everything that was around them. They became hopeless.
My Lord.
Gathered before David, listening for a word. Hallelujah. That will give them a hope and a reason to live. God using his servant. Speak unto them, and their countenance has changed.
Yes. Hallelujah.
This is the America that we are living in. This is the America. People are in death. People are discouraged. People are feeling that the system has let them down. People are feeling hopeless in this country right now. And what we need is a word from God.
Amen.
What we need is a word at this moment from the servants of God.
Amen. Amen.
The voice of the church is necessary right now. I believe the deliverance for this country is going to come from the church.
Amen.
It is going to come from God's servants. The lips of God's servants. As God used his servants to minister to the people and to grant hope again in God. As the people come before God in repentance, God will grant a word to bring deliverance. The people were in distress who came to David.
Hallelujah.
The people were in debt. The people were hopeless. Were in a hopeless state based on the very surrounding, the very condition of the country. Because God has ruined the country and has created this hopelessness among the people. And they were seeking for a voice.
Hallelujah.
Today, America is seeking for a voice.
Hallelujah.
America is seeking for another Billy Graham.
Hallelujah.
America is seeking for another Billy Graham at this time.
Yes, Lord.
The voice of the church, the voice of the church to speak for the people and to bring assurance that the same God who delivered America in the past has the ability to do it again.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Hallelujah. Lord.
I go back to verse 5 again. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their face was not ashamed.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
People who are in distress, when they heard about the deliverance that God gave to his servant, their faces were lightened.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Countenance upon us, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Brother Barker's benediction. Brother Barker's benediction. Say, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee.
Yes,
the Lord lifts up his countenance upon thee and give you peace. Hallelujah! It is that
Lord
God that we are seeking right now.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
That God. And the voice of the church is so vital in this hour that we need a word from the Lord. We need a word from the Lord because we are in a cave where it is dark. But the word of the Lord generates light and hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God's people can be renewed in their spirit, can be renewed in their body, can be renewed before God. Because we are serving the God of hope and the God of deliverance. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse 5, verse 6 said, this poor man cried. Hallelujah.
Glory. This poor man cried.
I want to say to the church this morning that this psalm is for all of us.
All of us is that poor man.
It is you are this poor man. I am this poor man. David was that poor man. This poor man cried.
Yes.
And the Lord heard him.
Amen.
He said it again. He's saying it again. But this time he is using himself and said, not him I this time, but he said, sick, poor man.
Glory.
And he's not so much talking about being poor in pocket, but he's talking about being poor in spirit.
Hallelujah.
Be poor in spirit. All of us here this morning who are listening, let me tell you, it is a good thing to be poor in spirit. Because when you are sitting humble before God, God will hear you.
Hallelujah.
God will hear you if you are humble in spirit. Blessed. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This poor man cried, he declares, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his trouble. And then the next verse is so important here, verse 7. When he declared to these 400 men something that they did not know, but something that he knew, he said to them, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him.
Hallelujah.
He knew that right before the King of God, that he was not alone. The angel of the Lord was with him.
Amen.
The angel. Let me say to all of us that each and every one of us as a child of God, God has assigned an angel to us.
Amen, amen, amen.
You might not be able to see the angel, but let me tell you, there's nowhere that you can go. There is nowhere I can go that angel is not there.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God has assigned an angel to us. Listen to what happened in the case of Elisha. Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 6, and I read from verse 15. 2 Kings 6, and I read from verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God, that is Elisha's servant, was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host encamped the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that are with us are more than they which are with them. But listen to this verse here now, verse 17.
Glory.
And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain were filled with horses and chariots.
Yes, glory.
A fire round about Elisha.
Amen.
What are we saying here? The servant of God went outside early in the morning, and as far as he could see, the Philistine, the Assyrian, surround the entire camp of the servant of God with horses and chariots, ready to take him out. And he went back inside and told God's servant what he saw outside. And the God's servant, who is conscious of the presence of the Lord with him, prayed to God and said, Lord, open his eyes so that he may see your provision. Lord, open the eye of the servant. And when the servant looked, he saw the entire region filled with horses and chariots of fire round about the Assyrian army, ready to destroy them if they made a move on God's servant. But God's servant did not see that just like that. His eyes had to be opened. You and I don't see the angel that is around us. God planned it that way. But God has commissioned an angel to guide you and to guard you and to guard me, his servant. David was able to say to them, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, to deliver them from their troubles. That he addressed the group of people. God is still on the job for you, and God is still on the job for me, saints. What we need to do is follow what the psalmist is saying to us, inviting us to worship the Lord. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. Yes. His praise shall continually be my motion. And he ended with an invitation, saints. He ended with an invitation. For those who are wavering and not yet repented, of that 400 men, he issued an invitation in verse 8 when he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. A word of invitation. If you are here and you're feeling this discouragement of what is taking place around you,
taste and see.
You are being encouraged at this moment by the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
To take refuge in the arms of God.
Hallelujah.
Seek the Lord by way of repentance. These are men who have gone through the difficulties, the distress, men who have owned death, men who become discouraged in the very things that were taking place around them. And they listened to the voice of the Lord. And immediately, the greater portion of them repented. But there are those who were still holding out. And David is your word unto them by saying to them, hold taste and see that the Lord is good. My invitation to you, my brother, who have gone through it, you are feeling like life has left you. You are feeling that society have no place for you. You are feeling that you could just give up, throw in your towel. The word of God is saying to you, no, there's a place for you in God. There's a place for you in God. God has not given up on you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. This is where the voice of the church comes in. To deliver the word of God to a people who are overwhelmed with a society that has turned its back upon them. The voice of the church giving a word of encouragement and a word of experience to worship God and praise God, because we have experienced the deliverance from God already. And it is our duty to pass this on to you who need him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusted in him. And there are many more things that the psalmist says in this Psalms 34. But we will stop here, as we will encourage you, those who are outside of Christ and can identify with these 400 men who were in distress and in death and become disheartened by what society has to offer unto them, have repented and found the joy of being connected with God to the extent that it shows on their faces, and they were renewed. You can be renewed this morning. You can be renewed today. You can be renewed in the thinking of your mind. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Father, I just bless your name this morning.
Yes,
we just bless your name that you're a God of hope.
Praise your Lord.
You're a God of a second chance. You're a God of a third chance. You're a God of a fourth chance. You're a God who does not give up on us. Oh Lord, I just worship you. And if we see you, we can find you.
We praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah to your name, Lord. You have delivered us from so many difficult circumstances in the past. And Lord God, you have a track record of delivering people. God, this morning, we're asking you for another deliverance. Come to our rescue at this time, as the people of America. We need you, Lord God. We need the deliverance that comes only from God at this hour. We pray that you will touch us individually, in our body, in our soul, and in our spirit. And renew us so that the joy of the Lord will be seen on our faces as we make a change for the better. We ask in Jesus' name.